am going to be taking up a subject that I feel every one of us could have God's help in. And when I was thinking about this subject, I thought, you know, I think I can be a good help because God has helped me. And the more I got into the subject, the more I felt like backing out, to be honest with you. I'll tell you what my subject is. God's desire for my Christian marriage. I plan on not just doing it today. It's going to take several sessions. But the first one I want to look at is God's view. The second one is the beginning. The third one is my conduct. The fourth one is my attitude. The fifth one is what to do and not to do. The sixth one is my words. And the seventh one session will be enjoying, not enduring. In other words, in regards to marriage. A lot of times we endure marriage. A lot of times we go through the motions and we come to the assembly meetings and nobody would ever know that we're going through problems and struggles or trials. And we just had a fight on the way down here or the way here and things like that. I mean, you know, we're human beings, and we're not perfect. But I could definitely increase my love for my spouse, and I'm sure vice versa. I remember when I was a younger man, there was an elder that was going to take up this subject. My wife and I hadn't been married very long, and I thought, wow, great, you know, because I hadn't heard ministry or teaching on how to be a husband, or how to be a wife, or how to conduct myself in my marriage. I hadn't heard anything about that. And so when this elder was going to give this ministry, I thought, thank you, Lord. Well, he probably felt the same way I did, because a week or two before he was going to give the ministry, he backed out. And we never heard it. And I learned a lot of things the hard way, the wrong way. When I grew up, I didn't grow up with parents who were Christians. I was the first one in my family to get saved. And so I saw a fairly good relationship in marriage, but I didn't see the true biblical Christian principles of how to be a husband or how to be a wife. The other day I asked my wife, well, maybe it was a week ago or so, can't really remember the exact day anyways, and you may not want to do this, or you may want to do it, I'll leave it up to you, but I said to my wife, if you were to put us on the marriage meter, and one is the worst and 10 is the best, where would you put us? My wife thought about it for a minute, she goes, I was glad she didn't say 2 or 3. She said, you put us about an 8. Well, my heart almost jumped for joy and came out of my chest. And, oh, thank you, Lord. Whew. I'm so glad she feels that way. And then after a while, I thought to myself, what a bummer. It's not a 10. Why isn't it a 10? Why haven't I loved my wife so much that she feels our relationship is a 10? And so right now I'm working to become a 9. And I've asked her several times, are we getting closer to a 9? Are we getting closer to a 9? She goes, yeah, you're getting there. But it takes effort. It takes work. It's not something that we just naturally want to do the best for the other person. We're so selfish. When you get married, you find out how selfish you are. So many adjustments and things. Well, I always did it this way. Or my mother always did. Oh, the worst thing you can say. My mother always does it this way. Oh, boy. It's amazing how you come into a marriage and you've got ideas of what your relationship should be. And she's got ideas of what the relationship should be. And guess what? They don't match. They don't match. Men and women are totally different. You know, a woman, she likes security. She's very emotional. And the more that men can give her that security and that tenderness and that love, the more they respond to that. But us men are like, I don't need all that gushy stuff. Why we got candles for dinner tonight? You want flowers? They're just going to die anyways. Why do you want them? I mean, these are things that I struggled with when I was first married. And maybe even beyond first married. Maybe for several, for a long lot of time. And so, you know, I want to look at the Word of God. I think I need to make this clear, too. Because, you know, everyone might say, wow, your marriage is an 8. I wish my marriage was an 8. Or some of you might say, his is only an 8. Is there anyone can say that here? I want you to know this. That about 20 years ago, my marriage was at a 1, headed to 0. When I think of that, it hurts. Now, there's two sides. There's always, whenever there's problems, it's not just one person's problem and the other person's doing everything right. There's always two sides. But I want to say this. The responsibility for that marriage was mine before God. And most of the problem was mine. So I thank God that today, by His grace, by His mercy, by His love, by His kindness, give me a wonderful wife. She can look at our marriage today and say, I think we're at an 8. Wow. That really does amaze me. But I do want to make it a 10. I want to look today at two portions of Scripture, basically. One is in Ephesians 5. That's the first one. Let's turn there to Ephesians 5. The second one is going to be in the book of Revelation. Let's read it from verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved. As dearly loved children, I'm reading from the NIV, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So if we look at these first two verses, you know, God is encouraging us to live a life of love. Now, you know, we can go out into the workforce and try to win souls for Christ, and we can sometimes go to our neighbors and try to win our neighbors for Christ. And we can show love and kindness. And when they see us, they think, wow, they're different. But they really show love. But then when you come into the home sometimes, and if they were just like little bugs on the wall, they might not see that love. They might see the true, real persons that we are. The times that I speak harshly to my wife, or the times that she's upset with me and doesn't respond properly, the times that you get angry when you shouldn't, you find your temper, you don't lose it, you find it and you display it, the times that you are demeaning and you say words that you shouldn't say to put her down, or she'll say things to you that kind of dig and hurt. You see, that's the things that the outside don't see. But in the home, the kids see it. If you have kids, your spouse sees it. And you hurt each other. Sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes it's a war. Sometimes it's a fight. I'm not saying striking each other, but being verbally abusive. Sometimes maybe even being physically abusive. But God says, live a life of love in the home. It starts in the home. It starts with your relationship with Christ in the home. It starts with you and your spouse, with Christ as a center, living a life of love in a home. There was a thought, Mr. Hendricks, I have it somewhere else, I'm not sure, but Mr. Hendricks, he wrote a book on about marriage and things, and he said, you know, he said, if you don't show Christianity in the home, then you really don't show Christianity. And he said, don't export it. You know what he means by that? In other words, if you're not showing Christianity to your spouse and to your children, if you're not showing that love and kindness that Christ has done for us in the home, then don't try to fake it and take it out there. Because that's not true Christianity. True Christianity is showing love and kindness. The love and kindness that Christ gave for each one of us. It needs to start with our relationship with our spouse, with Christ as the center in the home. And then this verse says, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering of sacrifice to God. Thank God he did. You know, there's not a one of us that would ever be in heaven if Christ hadn't done this. We would all be in hell. We would all go to the lake of fire. We'd all be separated. We'd all be punished for the things that we do wrong and the things that we say wrong and our actions that are wrong. In fact, anything without faith doesn't please God. So our whole lives, if we didn't have Christ, our whole life would be a life without faith, and our whole life would not please God. And we would deserve eternal separation from God. But thank God, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, I know I'm not going to get through very much. I'm going to skip a whole lot here because I can come back to it in the next session. Okay? I'm not too worried about that. I want to look at something that I was just thrilled with in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. You know, I want you to know, I am not up here to condemn anybody. If I can be a help, that's all I want to be. If I can encourage you in your relationship with your spouse, with Christ as a center, then glory to God. I don't want you to think that I'm condemning you or judging you. We're saying, hey, you need to straighten up. It's not for me to do. Revelation chapter 19. I want to look at something. Look at verse 7. We're gonna read from verse 4. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. That's Amen, praise the Lord. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud, and this version says loud peals, loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said unto me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I'm just going to look at in regards to verse 7 here. And then I'm going to go over to Revelation 21. But it says here, For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And I'm thinking, you know, God is showing us, he's giving us a glimpse of what the wedding, the marriage, supper of the Lamb is going to be like here. And when the Word of God looks at the bride, does he see her as filthy? Does he talk derogatory about her here? Does he talk down to her? Does he disgrace her? You know, who's the bride? Who is the bride? We are. Absolutely. We are rotten to the core when we are left to ourselves. We should be separated. We deserve to be separated from God for eternity. We do not deserve any goodness from God except for his grace and kindness through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never throws it up in the bride's face. He doesn't treat her in a bad way. He gives her the clothes to wear. He provides for it, provides the feast, he provides the wedding, he provides everything that she has. Everything. Because he loves her. That's how God views us. So then the question comes home. How do I treat my wife? Yeah, well, I said some things I didn't mean to say. Yeah, I know I raised my voice and I shouldn't have. I pounded that table or I hit that wall or I left in a fury. How do I treat my wife? Wives, how do you treat your husbands? This is going to be a joyous time. An amazing time. I want to go over to Revelation 21. You know, we can say, well, you know, I'm only human. Or as Adam did in Genesis, but the woman that you gave me, and put the blame on her, point her direction. You know what, men? God has given us the responsibility for a happy marriage. Now it takes two. I don't want anyone here to think, well, my husband, he's got a lot to learn. You know what? We do. We absolutely do. It doesn't matter how old you are and how long you've been married. We have a lot to learn. But at the same time, so do the wives. So do the women. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Okay, then look at verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And you know, when I was looking at this, I'm thinking, I thought he was going to show him the bride. But he's showing him the holy city, Jerusalem. Well, the holy city, Jerusalem, is where the bride's going to be. And he has made this amazing place for this bride that he has purchased with his own blood, that he has cleansed, that he has purified, that he has made holy, that he has dressed, that he has given her everything bright, white, shining, glorious for the bride that he loves so much that he laid down his life for his bride. So I want to go on. So the bride that is being shown here is the holy city, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And it says, coming down out of heaven from God. Verse 11. It shone or shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Now, I've looked at this word, and some commentators think that even though the word jasper is used here, it could be the same word or the same thought as a diamond. Now, I want to say something about a diamond. Okay, diamonds are formed deep within the earth, down over 100 kilometers, that's over 300 feet, in places of high temperatures and high pressures. Conditions for carbon atoms to bond together, Atoms have to arrange themselves in a particular way that lets them share electrons, a regular three-dimensional geometrical pattern, blah, 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 that if left to grow without interference produces large, pure diamond crystals. Volcanic eruptions, etc., throw the crystals up from the Earth's depths. High temperatures and high pressures. Does it sound like your marriage sometimes? Like you say, well, am I ever going to get through this? My marriage is just not what it should be. I don't know if I can take this anymore. But how are diamonds formed? From chunks of carbon. Through high temperatures and high pressures. God knows everything in your relationship. He knows about your marriage. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you acted the other day. He knows how your spouse acted the other day. And God says, oh, I'm not going to let up. I still have some molding and changing to do here. When will you submit to me? When will you acknowledge me as being in control of everything in this situation? When will you relinquish the reins of your life and give them over to me in your marriage? High pressures and high temperatures. God knows all about it. And God can stop it at any time. But there's a reason. He's taking you and me, chunks of coal, and he's producing diamonds. Okay, I want to continue. Verse 12. It had a great high wall with 12 great gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. Let's jump down to verse 18. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. And he goes on. And then verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made up of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. And he goes on to talk about it. He says, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There's no temple in there in the city because we don't need a temple to worship him. We worship God. The Lord God Almighty, we worship the Lamb. We're going to be in the holy city. Now, when I read all these things, I'll tell you, I was excited. Because when the scripture says, I'm going to show you the bride, and then all these things come up, and how glorious, how beautiful, how magnificent, all the jewels and the gems and the precious stones. When God sees us, that's what he sees, because he sees us through the work and the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us to no extent. He provides the best for us. And that's what we have to look forward to be with him in that holy city. Worshiping him, spending time with him. Just like I said in the worship this morning, Jesus Christ saved us, yes, to bring glory to him, to bring honor to him, yes, for the ministry of reconciliation, to see others brought to Christ, but ultimately to be with him in eternity, for us to be there with him. He left, but he's coming back. Why? To get us to be with himself. He loves us so much. He appreciates us. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we do things that are wrong? Yes. He doesn't throw it in our face. We're forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from most sins, but not all. No. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What do we have to look forward to in this relationship with Christ? The most glorious relationship, the most intimate relationship you can imagine. What does God want in my home? As a husband, he declares twice in a word. And he has no bones about it. Husbands, love your wives. Two times. Now I've looked in Scripture. When does he command the wifeless to love the husband? I couldn't find it. Not there. You know why? Because we're hard-headed. Now, there is a scripture that says that the older women have to teach younger women how to love their husbands. But it doesn't say that you better love your husband. You know what? A wife just pours her love, her care, her compassion, her emotion out for her husband. And she doesn't have to be commanded to do it. But us guys are so selfish and so self-centered and so focused on what we want in life that, yeah, my wife's a tag-along, you know? She's there for... No. That's not the way it's to be. Husbands, love your wives. And the wife? You know, nowhere in Scripture does it say, husbands, you make sure your wives are subject to you. You make sure they reverence you. It doesn't say that. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. And I want to tell you this, and I've experienced it, and I know it's true. The Word of God is true. When I love my husband the way I should, my wife loves me back with reverence and respect like I've never seen before. God views marriage as one of the most profound relationships that is possible for all eternity. Because it's a picture of Christ in the church. Help us to be encouraged to seek to take our marriage wherever it's at to the next level. And to the next level. And to the next level. It can happen. But it's going to take the power of God, and it's going to take a yielding and submission on our parts to obey the Word of God. Until finally each one of us have a marriage that isn't an 8, and it's not a 9, it's a 10. Wow! Is it possible? Absolutely. Because God's Word is true. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts. Help us not to point the fingers at others, but to take the Word for ourselves. Help us to build our relationships with you, and help us to build our relationships with our spouses and with our children. And we pray that our lives will manifest Christ and the church, that tremendous love, so much so that people will want to know Christ because of our relationship with each other and with him. We ask for your help. Take us home in safety, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.